This is Tangents. This week we have a guest who will sound familiar to those of you who listen to other trivia podcasts. You may have heard him on Triviality or Throwback Trivia Takedown or Verboten or Blitz or several other shows over the years, but now he's here giving Tangents a shot to see how far he can go. Luke Leavenworth is here from upstate Gurnee, Illinois, and I think we both had a pretty good time with this one. Here's how it went.
Yeah, I like to describe myself as a prolific trivia podcast loser. I don't win too often, but I sure come on the shows a lot and have a good time. So,
well, you can't lose on this one.
I can't. I guess my goal is to answer more than or to hear more than three questions, maybe.
Well, let me ask you some questions. What do you think is the best thing to eat in Gurnee?
I'm going to head to Waukegan for the best thing to eat, if that's okay.
Yeah.
We are big fans and patrons of Big Ed's Barbecue. They were downtown Waukegan. They were actually in Libertyville first, I think, and then they were downtown Waukegan. And now they've got their own converted Pizza Hut in a kind of a more commercial area of Waukegan. And they're phenomenal. Whenever we cater birthday parties, not that we do that a ton, we go to them and we're in their shop at least a couple times a month as a family. And it's just the best.
Excellent. Well, next time I'm up there.
Yeah. Let me know. We'll take you in.
I certainly will. I've asked everybody this, and so I'm sure you're ready for this one. What is your favorite movie soundtrack?
All right. From a trivia perspective, I am like hilariously bad at music, especially if it's pre-2000. So your stream has actually been awesome in terms of me just like starting to recognize artists and figure out who people are. I mean, I like music. I enjoy lots of music. Just the who and the what have never really clicked other than I enjoy listening to things. Anyway, I thought about this. Growing up, maybe not growing up, but when the original Space Jam soundtrack is really, really good. Mm-hmm. There's a Monica song on there that's just excellent. That's up there. And then I thought about if I had ever like purchased a movie soundtrack album back when purchasing albums was a thing. And I picked up somewhere in high school, maybe the soundtrack from the Hugh Grant movie About a Boy.
Oh, wow.
That's a really solid kind of atmospheric, pretty chill. Good music. It's worth a look.
That is a new one. I'm going to have to check that one out. What pop culture thing are you into right now?
Pop culture thing. When I have time, not chasing my two rambunctious children and, mm-hmm. and working. I love video games. We just played through Spider-Man 2 over Christmas break. I picked up Baldur's Gate, played that for a minute, and then the new Final Fantasy Rebirth game came out. And then I realized that wasn't just a remake of the remake. So I went back and started the Final Fantasy VII remake. And that's what I'm doing currently. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going to be busy for a while then.
That's the vibe I'm getting after having played those games a lot earlier on.
Yeah. What is your favorite piece of trivia that sticks with you?
So I'm a high school math teacher, and I don't know if this, I guess this counts as trivia, but like, I'm just fascinated by like number relationships, like the fact that a million seconds is like something like 11 days, is that? And then a billion seconds is something like 30 years, like those kinds of relationships that I can kind of like grab kids with and be like, hey, check this out. There's some cool algebraic analysis facts that are out there that seem really counterintuitive and are fun to talk about.
The scale of millions to billions to trillions.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy is an understatement.
Yeah. You listen to podcasts. I know because you're on all
Too
of
many.
The trivia podcasts.
Too many.
Do you listen to any non-trivia podcasts?
Yeah, I'm a big kind of just sports and pop culture, like passive consumer. So any of the Bill Simmons podcasts, any of yep. the Ringer stuff, the Ringer is my main kind of network that I stick around through.
I do enjoy the Ringer stuff too.
They do good stuff.
Good stuff and good for trivia. Where do you quiz, either live or online?
I started kind of hanging out with Gary's crew Monday nights. I'm actually missing it for this Monday nights in up in Kenosha. I make the trek north, even farther north.
Yeah.
And we play our team name is That Table Over There, which is always good for a couple head turns as people look around. And
yeah,
it's a good spot. It's been a lot of fun. I had been really just doing the virtual thing throughout COVID mm-hmm. And really got hooked in the last, I don't know, good. 2 or 3 years.
Good. Speaking of trivia.
Yeah.
Are you ready to make your game?
I mean, I say this as someone who listens to a lot of trivia podcasts and loves them all equally like adopted children. But this is just my favorite concept. I think this is so cool. So I am ready to build my game. Yes.
Awesome. Well, here we go. The game is simple. I'll start you off with a question. Answer correctly and you get to choose the topic for the next question based on a set of tangents from your answer. Keep answering correctly to stay in the game. If you don't know an answer, it's not the end of the world. You're allowed to miss two questions and carry on, but once you miss your third, the game is over. You are going to pick up where Sam left off.
Okay.
With this question. What recording artist played Cat Valentine on the Nickelodeon shows Victorious, iCarly, and Sam and Cat before releasing her 2013 debut album, Yours Truly?
Yeah, last I checked, that was Ariana Grande.
Last you checked, you were correct.
Awesome.
That is your first correct answer.
All right.
Get you the following tangents. Singers, Cats, Nickelodeon, or 2010s music?
Oh,
and from what you've already told me about your music prowess.
I am better music post 2000. I do have some chops in that area, but Nickelodeon, depending on the era, could be pretty good. So let's try Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon it is. Featuring the voices of Lacey Chabert, Tim Curry, and Flea. What animated series about a nomadic family of documentary filmmakers and their pet chimpanzee Darwin ran on Nickelodeon from 1998 to 2004.
Not one of my favorites, but at least one I know about. I believe it was called The Wild Thornberries.
It was indeed called The Wild Thornberries. And that correct answer gets you these tangents. Wild, animation, Nickelodeon, or pets?
I think we're going to keep going with Nickelodeon.
Back for more Nickelodeon. Billy West is now famous for providing the voice of scores of animated characters. But one of his earliest jobs was voicing a Chihuahua and Manx cat on what 90s Nickelodeon show?
I think this is Ren and Stimpy. I didn't know Stimpy was a Manx, but that's sounds good. Ren and Stimpy.
It is Ren and Stimpy. Correct. And that gets you the following tangents. Voices, animation, Nickelodeon, or dogs?
So this is so hard because I listen to people and I'm like, how do you know when to jump off of a good thing? And I mean, that's part of the game, right? Let's keep going with Nickelodeon, please.
Nickelodeon. Adventure Bay is the setting for what Nickelodeon series focused on a certain group of city employees, including Chase, Marshall, and Sky.
I've heard they'll be there on the double. This is Paw Patrol, thanks to my kids who have stopped screaming upstairs. So yay audio.
Sometimes it really helps to have small children.
It does.
That another correct answer gets you these tangents. Adventures, Bays, or Chases?
Let's try Adventures. I don't love any of those, but Adventures sounds okay.
Adventures it is. When The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle was turned into a feature film in 2000, it was Jason Alexander and Rene Russo, not Paul Frees and June Foray, in the roles of what antagonists?
Thank you for asking me to name the characters and not the actors. This is Boris and Natasha.
It is Boris and Natasha. Boris Badenov and Natasha Fatal.
That's right.
And
I believe you.
That correct answer gets you these tangents. Animation, adventures, 2000s films, or antagonists?
Well, animation was grabbing me earlier with a chance to come back to it. Let's try it out. Animation, please.
Sure. Stan, Francine, Haley, Steve, a fish named Klaus, and an alien named Roger are all characters from what series debuted on Fox in 2005, then moved to TBS in 2014.
I caught a couple episodes of this, I think, when it came out. This is American Dad, I believe.
It very much is American Dad. And you got a nice starting streak of six going so far.
Ooh.
And you have the following tangents. Fish, characters, animation, or the 2000s?
It's a very narrow category, that last one. At least one more with animation, please.
Question in animation is this. Legendary voice actor Dawes Butler provided the voices for a wide range of classic cartoon characters like Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound, Snagglepuss, and what son of George and Jane Jetson?
Went from thanking my kids to thanking my dad for some Hanna-Barbera love. Elroy was his name, right?
His name was Elroy. Correct. Yeah. And get you the following tangents. Butler's voices, animation, or characters?
You do a good job of bouncing through the eras. Let's do animation one more time, please.
Animation again. Produced by Walt Disney and distributed by RKO, what film was released in American theaters in 1938 becoming the first full-length cell animated feature in motion picture history.
The full-length has me scared. I don't have a better guess than Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie is your guess?
Yes.
All right. Unfortunately, that's going to be your first miss. I think Steamboat Willie is 1928.
Right.
So 10 years later, the full length, the feature length film we're looking for, Snow White.
Of course it is.
And the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh. Yeah.
No problem. Just one miss. You get two more strikes and you get the following tangents. Disney 1930s films, firsts, or animation.
I don't know if I want to stick with it after missing something there. And I should have had that. That's one I'll be thinking about for, I don't know, 6 to 7 years after this. let's flip to Disney and see if we can keep it going.
Disney it is. Mickey Rooney and Kurt Russell voice Todd and Copper, the title characters in what 1981 Disney film that gave Tim Burton and John Lasseter their first animation jobs?
Oh, that's a cool connection for Burton and Lasseter that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. This is The Fox and the Hound, I think.
It is The Fox and the Hound. Correct. And you've started a new streak. And you get the following tangents. Foxes, actors, 1980s films, or Disney.
Of those choices, let's run Disney back.
Disney, here you go. The 2019 live version of Disney's Aladdin marked the first time that Gilbert Gottfried was not the voice of the parrot named for the villain in what Shakespeare play?
Ooh. I had three answers like ready to go, and then the question kept changing. Which means it's a great question, right? Othello is the play.
It is Othello, Iago. And you have the following tangents to work with. 2010's films, Disney, voices, or Shakespeare?
My 2010s films are better than my 1980s films. Disney has been fine. Voices would be cool. Shakespeare I've done, but my knowledge is limited in terms of his work. Let's keep it running with Disney.
Here we go. Your question in Disney. Because of its problematic themes, Disney won't stream the 1946 film Song of the South, but their Splash Mountain ride does include a soundtrack that features what Oscar-winning song from that movie?
This is another one that I know, and with an unlimited chunk of time, I might get close. But I mean, the first, when I think of South, my brain grabs Camp Town Races, but I don't think of that as specifically a Disney song. Zippity Doodah, I know, is a Disney song. I don't know its connection, but I think that's what I'm going to go with. We're going to try Zippity Doodah.
Zippity Doodah gets you into double figures.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, zippity-doo-dah. All right, that gets you the following tangents. Disney, streaming, 1940s films, or the Oscars?
Oscars is only a recent category, thanks to the Ringer Podcast Network. Not a sponsor, but they could be.
They could be.
I'm between Disney and streaming. I think that Disney question scared me away for now. Let's try streaming and see what that has for me.
Streaming it is. Parlaying her fame, or infamy, from the Netflix series Tiger King, who competed on the 29th season of Dancing with the Stars in 2020, outlasting only former NBA star Charles Oakley before her elimination on Disney Night.
What a rough way to go for Oak. I think the only person I can think of that would be here, I have no knowledge of Dancing with the Stars, especially more recent years. Carol Baskin is the name that comes to mind.
Carol Baskin is the correct answer.
Cool.
And that correct answer gets you these tangents. Streaming, Tigers, dance, or the NBA?
I grew up watching the Bad Boys with my grandma. It would be hard for me to not go NBA. Let's try NBA.
Your question. In NBA, the frozen envelope theory suggests that the NBA rigged the 1985 draft lottery so that the New York Knicks would be able to draft what center who played for the team from 1985 to 2000?
Patrick Ewing is this one.
Patrick Ewing is that one. Very nicely done.
One of the greatest scouting reports I've ever seen. It's just a quote that says, "Are you kidding?" with a question mark. Like there's no other words besides his stats. It's great.
Are you kidding? Yeah. Patrick gets you these tangents. NBA, the 1980s. New York, or conspiracy theories?
We'll stick with the NBA.
Sure. NBA. What center was the NBA Finals MVP 14 years apart In 1971, as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, and in 1985, with the LA Lakers.
Longevity, Bucks, and Lakers. I'm hoping this is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor.
That is correct. Yeah, Kareem gets you the point. You're up to 12, and you get the following tangents. Center, the NBA, MVPs, or the 1970s?
Center is intriguing, but I'm going to stick with the NBA.
Here's a question. In the NBA, although he would later exit to play for the Los Angeles Lakers, what overall number one pick in the 2004 NBA draft is the Orlando Magic franchise leader in both career points and rebounds?
It took me a minute. The year was throwing me off. I think this is Dwight Howard.
You did not fall for the trap. It is, in fact, Dwight Howard, not Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq was... I was going Shaq until I saw 04.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Dwight Howard was at my junior prom.
What?
As Candace Parker's senior prom date. I went to high school with Candace Parker, so it was very cool.
That is crazy.
A very tall man walked into our prom.
Wow. Well, you have that brush with fame.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure he remembers you.
I'll more fondly remember Candace than maybe, Dwight Howard.
But. There you go. Your tangents, Magic, records, or Florida?
Ooh. I don't like any of those things. Sorry, Russ. That's no digs on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Of those three, let's try Magic? Question mark.
Magic? Question mark. What entertainer was born Eric Weiss in Budapest in 1874 and died 52 years later on Halloween of 1926 of a ruptured appendix, not from being punched in the stomach?
I had this moment where I nodded and then his name left my brain entirely for about a second and a half. This is Harry Houdini.
It is Harry Houdini. And that gets you another point. You're up to 15 now.
Ooh.
And you have these tangents to work with. Death, stage names, Magic, or ILLINI.
Oh, man.
The game there is that the answer will either start with the letters ILL or end with the letters INI, as Houdini does.
I'm glad you said that, because as much as I am an Illinois boy, I've spent more time in the Michigan realm than I have in Illinois. But I love when you ask me favorite categories, I almost just sent you like categories with like wordplay or those kinds of Jeopardy-ish categories. So let's try it. Let's try ILLINI.
ILLINI. And here is your question. 2023 was a big year for artificial intelligence, with OpenAI launching ChatGPT in March and Google releasing a language of their own in December that shares its name with which sign of the zodiac?
Thanks for that final clue, because I was never going to pull it without it. I think this is Gemini.
That is Gemini. Yeah. Get you these tangents. 2020s, technology, same name, or ILLINI.
I kind of like the wordplay category. Let's stick with it, please.
Staying with ILLINI. They cracked the top 20 with their debut single, Just the Way It Is, Baby, in 1990, but the Rembrandts are much better known for what 1995 platinum-selling single, thanks to its use as a TV theme song from 1994 to 2004.
It's mean when you separate the ILL with an apostrophe.
That's right.
Like, really mean. I had to think about it. This is the Friends theme song, so I think it's called I'll Be There For You. I don't know if it has a more specific title than that.
It is just I'll Be There For You. Yeah.
Cool.
Nice job.
Thanks.
And it gets you these tangents. 1990s music, Billboard, theme songs, or ILLINI.
Oh, theme songs is really tempting. Let's stick with ILLINI, please.
Your question. What job is in the title of a 2006 film with Edward Norton in the lead role that's often confused with the Christian Bale movie The Prestige, released the same year?
No apostrophe this time, I don't think. This is The Illusionist.
Illusionist is the job we're looking for there.
Cool.
And it gets you the point. You're up to 18 now.
Ooh.
And your tangents. Jobs, 2000s films, actors, or ILLINI.
One more time, at least.
Here we go. What piece of clothing gets its name from a coral reef in the Marshall Islands where the U.S. conducted tests on nuclear devices from 1946 to 1958.
I was wondering if this would be one of the questions that came up in this category. Bikini, I think, is what you're looking for.
I am looking for Bikini.
Who isn't?
And that gets you these tangents. Fashion, geography, the 1940s, or ILL, INI.
Geography's okay, but I tell you what, after playing with Gary so much, my geography is nothing compared to that guy. Crazy.
He's really good.
Let's stick with ILL.
Here we go. A 15th century Venetian artist inspired the name of what cocktail made with Prosecco and peach puree in a champagne flute?
All right. I thank my kids. Thank my dad. We're going to thank my mom for loving peach Bellinis. I think Bellini is the word here.
Bellini is the word here.
Cool.
And that gets you your 20th point of the game. Woo. You're in rare air now.
Okay.
With the following tangents. Art, Italy, alcohol, or ILL, INI?
Oh. No to the first two without, even if this category wasn't still an option. Let's keep it going. This is working so far.
Here we go. Meaning enlightened in Latin. Conspiracy theorists believe that what secret society controls the modern world with the influence of members from Thomas Jefferson to Beyonce?
Illuminati.
Illuminati gets you to 21, which is probably some sign.
It is a triangular number.
There you go.
Which encases the eye, which is on top of the pyramid. Yes, you know what? We did it.
It's magic. That gets you these tangents. Words, Latin, presidents, or ILL, INI.
If it's not broke, right? Let's keep it going.
Sticking with it.
I guess.
For the last time.
Okay.
Here we go. Listed in the credits of When Harry Met Sally as older woman customer, Estelle Reiner, in her final film role, made it onto AFI's list of the top 100 movie quotes with what five-word line at the end of the scene at Katz's Deli?
Another apostrophe. Is it blasphemous to say I still have never seen this movie? I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, Rob Reiner, the director, put his mom in the movie. It ended up being her last film role. All right, that gets rid of the ILL category.
Okay.
But here are your tangents. 1980s films, quotes, or credits?
Of those three, I'll try quotes.
Trying quotes. Here's your question. It's been turned into a familiar meme based on Sean Bean's line in Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. But what three words actually complete the Boromir quote, "One does not simply ...
The verb is going to get me, but I think it's a walk into Mordor.
It is indeed. Ooh. Walk into Mordor.
I didn't know if it was something fancier than walk.
Nothing fancier than that.
No.
Your tangents. The Lord of the Rings, memes, actors, or quotes?
Memes is fun, but I know like memes have names, and I really don't know names of memes. And Lord of the Rings is not as good as it should be. Let's try it once and see if it doesn't bite me. Lord of the Rings, please.
All right. Your question in The Lord of the Rings. Filming for all three Peter Jackson installments of The Lord of the Rings was done entirely in what country?
Pretty sure it's New Zealand.
It is New Zealand. It's a little geography.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of. That gets you your 24th point, which is 8 times more than you hoped for.
It is. And this is all a dream at this point. I'm floating. I don't know what's happening.
So your tangents are these: The Lord of the Rings, directors, sequels, or countries.
Ugh. All like, I'd like to call myself a glue guy on a trivia team. Like, my ADHD allows me to know a little bit about most things and not a ton about a lot of things. All that being said, Lord of the Rings, one more time, please.
One more time. Back to the well. The planetary nebula M142 the star system HR4796A, and the intermediate spiral Seyfert galaxy NGC4151 have all been given what anatomical nickname based on a character voiced by Alan Howard in the Peter Jackson trilogy?
So voices is one, and is beard anatomical enough to say tree beard? And I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people that in the overlap between astronomy and Lord of the Rings fandom. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else anatomical of a voiced character. Because most everybody, even like the orcs and things, were acted, and we wouldn't say they were voiced. I'm going to stop stalling and say Treebeard.
Treebeard is your second miss.
Oh.
That is Eye of Sauron.
Oh. Eye of Sauron.
Yeah.
That makes way more sense with the astronomy stuff. Yeah. And it's far more anatomical than a beard might be.
The good news is that's only your second miss.
Yeah.
And you've already got a great score. Here are your tangents. Astronomy, anatomy, or nicknames.
My students ask me what I would do if I could throw it all away and couldn't be a teacher again. And I say something astrophysicist related. But even with that, I think it's just interesting. I don't know if I know a ton about it. Anatomy I've gotten better at as I've started playing trivia and had kids. Nicknames could be anything. Let's try anatomy.
Anatomy. Okay. Here we go. The maxillary bone, part of the ethmoid bone, vomer bone, and some hyaline cartilage all combine to form what anatomical structure that can contribute to sleep apnea if it becomes misshapen?
The triviality guys and I coined this as tired boy syndrome, of which I suffer. I'm putting all those together. I think this is talking about a deviated septum, deviated, misshapen. Let's say a septum and cross our fingers.
You should say septum. That's the right answer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That gets you up to a nice quarter hundred there.
All right.
And we get the following tangents: words, anatomy, sleep, or Latin.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I'm like viscerally reacting to your categories, Russ. They're great. This is a great game. I've said it before. Well, here's what's going to happen. If I say sleep and I miss it, I'm going to bed. So let's do it. Let's maybe 25 is a good number. I mean, we're well into gravy territory. Exactly. Let's go with sleep.
Sleep it is. Here we go. Added to the Oxford English Dictionary in 2016. What portmanteau refers to the luxurious amenities of resort-style vacations combined with the escapism of traditional outdoor sleeping?
And now we thank the in-laws. I think you're going for glamping here.
I am going for glamping here. Although I'm not sure I would ever be actually into glamping, but...
No, I'm not either, but I've been.
There you go. Thank the in-laws.
I have a bed for a reason. That's all I got to say about it.
Me too. Camping. Me too. Your tangents now become words, the 2010s, money, or more sleep.
Let's keep it going with sleep.
Sleep it is. Tim Neal won the 1976 Scripps National Spelling Bee by correctly spelling what disorder that causes sudden, uncontrollable spells of sleep?
I don't know what else it would be besides narcolepsy.
You don't need to know.
Good.
Anything other than that, because it is narcolepsy. And that gets you these tangents: the 1970s, health, sleep, or words.
I like sleep so far, so let's keep going with sleep.
Why not? Here is your question in sleep. Sold over the counter as a sleep aid, what hormone is produced naturally by the pineal gland and causes drowsiness at night?
We're back to thanking the kids. Melatonin. Melatonin.
Melatonin is correct. And that gets you the following tangents: anatomy, medicine, or retail.
Retail sounds fun. I don't know if that's where I want to go yet. Anatomy and medicine are close enough where I know where I would go between the two. Let's try retail. That's different enough.
It
I feel like
different.
I've found some themes.
Sure.
I want to do something different.
Your question in retail: What well-known character made his first appearance in a 1939 story by Robert L. May for Montgomery Ward Department Stores?
I have a guess, and I'm trying to think if I have anything better than that guess. Made his first appearance. Is the first appearance, like, ever, or specifically the first appearance for Montgomery Ward?
First appearance ever, yes.
Oh, interesting. Then I don't think I know this. Because I was going to say Santa Claus, because that seems like a creation. I'm still going to go with it, because I don't have a better answer. We're going to say Santa Claus.
Going to say Santa Claus. You are very much in the right area.
Okay.
It is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, Rudolph. Of course.
Yeah.
All right.
But amazing job for wanting to get 3 points, three questions. You end up with 28 points overall, a long streak of 17.
Okay.
Which is incredible. So Luke, you knocked it out of the park.
Hey, I'll take it. I was sincere about three being the goal. And so thank you for everything. This is so much fun.
You never know until you actually play the format, how you're going to do. So yeah, it's actually a little scary to do that well your first time out and then have to do better the next time. You should have set the bar low, and it's a lot easier to beat the low bar scores the next time you're on. But hey, you do you.
Should have just refused to answer after five, which was exactly, like the pie in the sky goal.
Yeah, keep it low. Yeah. Before we get out of here, anything to plug or shout out?
I always do it, and I don't know if people are sick of it yet or not. I haven't heard it to my face that they are. The way I justify this time and the money spent on Patreons and things like that is to promote my wife's nonprofit. She's the number two at a diaper bank in Northern Illinois called Keeping Families Covered. So if you're looking for a worthy cause, either Keeping Families Covered, which is at keepingfamiliescovered.org, or because they're a member of the National Diaper Bank Network, there, I'm sure there's a diaper bank in your area if you're not near to me. That would be very lovingly accepting of any donations. Especially awesome. The monetary ones.
Yeah, for sure. We'll put links in the show notes for that.
Yes, please.
And Luke, we'll see you next time. We'll get you on as soon as we can.
Love it, Russ. Thanks so much for everything.
Thanks again to Luke, and thank you for listening. Be sure to check the show notes for links, subscribe if you haven't already, and spread the word. And if you'd like to try your hand at the game, there's a link to the sign-up form on our link tree. See you next week.